Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All Saints' Day is a day to remember and give thanks for all those whom God has set apart to be his people by grace. This day's origin on the church calendar begins with the story of the building of the ancient Roman Pantheon, which still stands to this day in the middle of Rome, built by Marcus Agrippa around 27 AD to celebrate the victory of his father-in-law, Caesar Augustus, at the Battle of Actium over Mark Antony and Cleopatra. So Caesar Augustus tangentially enters the church year again, not just for Christmas Eve or Christmas. According to a history of the church year's festivals compiled by Pastor Wilhelm Lea, blessed father of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Agrippa built the Pantheon in honor of Jupiter and Augustus and called the temple Pantheon, either because the design of the building imitated the form of heaven, which according to pagan thought was the seat of all the gods, or because the building was supposed to have pictures on all the columns that upheld the rotunda of all the various Roman gods. It was intended to be a vision of the pagan heaven and those who lived there. Over the next 400 or so years, as Christianity ascended in the empire, this monument to an historic Roman military victory and their gods was changed into a house of the living God through liturgical cleansing and consecration, set aside as a sanctuary in which to remember the victory of Christ and his soldiers. Pope Boniface IV consecrated the Pantheon under a new name, Saint Mary and all the martyrs. The Christian saints who live in the real heaven with a real Savior. Pope Gregory III consecrated another chapel in Rome in the year 731 to the glory of all saints. So this feast day dedicated to all saints and the idea behind the naming of these two sanctuaries made it into the church's calendar every November 1st. The Lutheran fathers saw the blessing in celebrating such a day and kept the tradition, Lea says. The holy apostle and evangelist St. John was allowed to see by God the heavenly vision of all those conquering heroes of the faith, all of Christ's soldiers, faithful, true, and bold. He wrote, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" This multitude, John sees, is dressed in the signs of victory. They have won a battle. They have the victor palm branch waving, just like the crowds on Palm Sunday in Jerusalem. And like the Palm Sunday crowds, they ascribe their praise to the Lamb of God who sits now on his throne. They are dressed in the white robes for those found faithful, true, and bold to their King. Revelation doesn't say it, but our hymn, "For All the Saints," which we sang at the beginning of the service today, the hymn echoes St. Paul's encouragement to St. Timothy. They each have the victor's crown of gold. These have finished the race, having picked up their cross and followed Jesus. They have kept the faith through high and low, thick and thin. Hence there was laid up for them the crown of righteousness, Paul says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, awarded to them on that great day, the award given to all who have loved the appearing of Jesus. 2 Timothy 4. So St. John certainly sees the victory celebration of the great saints of the church whom we remember. We remember many with feast days, don't we? Like Saints Simon and Jude this past Wednesday, or St. Andrew coming up at the end of November. Mary, Joseph, John the Baptist gets 2 days every church year, doesn't he? The great fathers of our Christian faith are there who followed after the apostles. Ambrose, Augustine, Athanasius, Martin Luther, certainly there at row 1, seat 3 in heaven. Johann Sebastian Bach leads the choir from the heavenly organ console. Here stand the unabashed psalters of the earth, preachers of the light of the world to a sterile, dark world that is often antagonistic to what they preached, yet they fought the good fight of the faith and received the crown of righteousness laid up for them. But St. John also sees the Old Testament believers who died in faith, those not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar off. They soldiered on while they yearned for the greater heavenly country to come. They went totally on faith alone. They could not see the promise hoped for come to fruition in the promised Savior. These humble saints are the meekest of the meek, the Old Testament saints, inheritors of a promised land that was a mere shadow or hint of where they now stand in a new heaven and a new earth, the new Jerusalem. St. John also sees the noble martyr throng of God's faithful and bold soldiers, from the prophets of the Old Testament killed for their preaching to those killed in the Colosseums of Rome by fire, gladiator, and beast, to those killed, three Christians murdered just this past Thursday by a Muslim terrorist who invaded the Notre Dame Church in the city of Nice, France, looking to disrupt and destroy the daily mass and the prayers of the Christians gathered there. Or think of the 30 Coptic Egyptian Christians beheaded a few years back by the ISIS terrorists who confessed the name of Jesus right to their end. All these died in the faith for the sake of the gospel. Blessed are they, persecuted for righteousness' sake, reviled, evil uttered against them falsely on Jesus' account. They rejoice there in John's vision, glad for their reward that is great in heaven. There's yet more. St. John also sees yet more faithful and true soldiers in bright array, all the saints from whom their labors rest, all who by faith before the world confess the holy name of Jesus with their mouth and believed in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Men, women, young and old, of every tribe and nation, so many, who are often under sin's crushing load, poor in spirit, who mourned at times in this life with great pain and sadness, who hungered and thirsted for Christ's righteousness, who by grace through faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit learned to show mercy, act with pure hearts, make peace with those who wronged them and with those whom they wronged in this mortal life. There they stand, all those faithful Christian soldiers who we loved and we cared for and who loved and cared for us in this life, our family and friends who lived and died in Christ. There they stand. God had set them apart in their baptism to be his own people by his grace and mercy on account of his Son. They're there. Your father and your mother who taught you to pray, who protected you and nourished you and raised you to live according to the Ten Commandments, and your grandparents who made sure you attended Sunday school and divine service and catechism and encouraged you and showed you by example how to live out your Christian faith no matter what those circumstances are. There's your faithful spouse who stood by you in this life as a blessing to you. And there's your friends and relatives, all the ones who died too young, earthly plans left unfulfilled, those who lived a long life and long for the heavenly home. None of these were perfect, none without sin on this side of heaven, but they are all there. They are the faithful soldiers made true to Jesus in their baptism by grace, and they were made bold for him by the Holy Spirit's work in them. These are all there in heaven, all the multitude of victorious soldiers in the Christian ranks, faithful, true, and bold. Victorious because they have a victorious Savior who died for them and rose for them and conquered death and sin and evil and all things. They have that victor's crown of gold. And to them has come rest, sweet calm of paradise, the blessed. But there is still more there in John's vision. Not just those who have already died to this life. This is a timeless and eternal vision given to the apostle. It means you're in view there too. We confess one holy Catholic and apostolic church. The vision of heaven and all the saints is meant for your comfort, your joy, your peace. You are there. Where Jesus is, there you are. We hear from John that heaven is no disembodied place where spirits blow about over green meadows and babbling brooks and aimless things are done. No, the triumph song of the feast of victory for our God by the Lamb who once was slain is sung. And the saints stream through in triumphant, bright array through the gates of pearl as the cemeteries of this earth where faithful warriors found rest have been opened up for an unimaginable and unaccountable procession behind the King of Glory. There's a liturgy going on in heaven that John sees. We even practice such marching behind our King. We're supposed to march out the door of this church at the final hymn together, blessed and forgiven, united in Christ, ready to take on the world, ready for that glorious day when we will march into heaven's pearl gates. It's coming. So be comforted, soldiers in Jesus, in John's vision of the Lord's promise fulfilled. Through this comforting vision, God gives you the boost that you and I need to soldier on in the face of the grief and the persecution and the hearts broken by sin, the regrets, the many sorrows, including all the unknowns that are out there this week, all the craziness that's going on. We can soldier on. We have to. We've been given the victory of our Lord Christ. You belong to him. You have been bought and paid for. The devil has lost, no matter how it appears out there. The victory has been won. The devil cannot have you. God did not abandon our forefathers in the faith, and he will not abandon you. Your place in the eternal feast of victory is secured, locked tight, and you're already there when John sees you, and that your Savior has ascended there first. You're already there, because as I said, where he goes, that's where you're going to the right hand of God, to the throne of God. Soon it comes, faithful warriors. Rest will come from this life, but that yet more glorious day will come too, when we will march into heaven and we will see all things fully in the joy of heaven's light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.